Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCPQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Fick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this
Someone
radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Fick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome to another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And today we're probably going to do a little bit along the lines of what we did last week. Review the market a little bit. It was a little crazy week.
I don't think it ended up or down really. I think it was just sideways by the time
pretty
the
flat,
dust settled.
But pretty scary along the way for probably a lot of people. And that's why we want to talk about it a little bit. Lots of media hype around moves up or down. Mm-hmm. Even when they're relatively insignificant, they try to create some type of story. And that's one of the reasons we do this show, is to try to get you to understand that it is just a very short-sighted, short-term focus, because these media people, they're just journalists. They're trying to make a story. They truly don't understand what's going on in the market in most cases. So you need to understand that and not make a knee-jerk reaction based on what they're saying or what the story of the day is.
Well, no one knows.
Correct.
That's the thing to make certain you understand, is that really no one knows.
Yeah. It's proven years of research and analysis of all the predictions and recommendations, and how it's roughly 85% of the time that those are dead wrong.
Yeah, and beyond that, a 100-point move in the Dow, you can speculate as long as you want what caused that.
Right.
But there's never really any proper reason. They can come with a million different reasons, but it might not be the right one. Really, all it was people sold more than they bought.
Right.
But now, there are some days when you can have a reason, like, you know, when we went and when the bombs took out, or the planes took out the World Trade Center. Well, right. Yeah, you were pretty certain you're going to have a big down move in the market. I mean, that's not hard to understand.
Right.
But in a normal average day of a 100-point, 200-point move on the Dow, when it's sitting at, 17,000, I mean, it's really insignificant and there's nothing really to say.
Right. And in many cases, it could just be tied to one stock that's heavily weighted on the index. Maybe they announced bad news. That's just one single company. So,
well, that's one thing we haven't really touched on in the show, and we're not really planning on touching on it today, is the weighting of the indexes and how they're put together. But what you do need to understand, just in a very brief analysis of these, that there are a couple of stocks in particular, like in the Dow Jones. I mean, that's weighted based on the price of the stock.
Mm-hmm.
So the higher price stocks swing the Dow more than the lower price stocks. So if you then have a split in that share and it takes the price of the stock lower, then it has less of an impact. It's pretty bizarre. Whereas when you're on the S&P 500, that's more on a market weighted basis, meaning that you multiply the number of shares outstanding by the actual value of the stock. So if you cut your share price in half by the reverse split, your market cap still remains the same.
Right.
So it doesn't change what happens to the index just because of a stock split. But that said, the larger cap stocks will still swing that index more than the little smaller ones at the bottom of the index.
Right. Just a couple of years ago, when Apple was moving significantly, it seemed like every day, that was the leading factor for the market.
Apple itself accounted for it, that I think it was last year, accounted for more than 15% of the total returns of the whole of the S&P 500.
Yes.
Crazy. I mean, that's 500 stocks, 500. So if you think about it logically, each stock should be 1/500th of that index.
Right.
but you've got one stock that drove the entire index. 15% of the move was attributable to one stock.
Right. So if that stock had a bad day, you can tell what directions the market's going to go.
But that's really not a look at the market.
No.
I mean, the market, if you think of the market as a whole, there's, I don't know exactly anymore. Do you know how many stocks they listed?
No.
I remember at one point it was like 17 or 18,000 stocks. And this is just 500 of them. So that's not the whole market, but it gives you a decent indication of what's going on.
Well, there's been numerous days where you can look and see the market was up or down, but most stocks were the exact opposite. So if the market was up that day, most stocks were down, but it was because of the weighting towards those top 500. And vice versa, when the market was showing down, many of the other stocks, most of the stocks were up for that day. So it wasn't a good accurate indicator whatsoever.
Well, I think on Friday we had a pretty solid up day in terms of the market. I mean, with
185.
Yeah, so I mean, that was a pretty good day in the market. But then, for example, you look at our old friend Loco.
Yeah, El Pollo Loco. It was a high flyer for a few days after it came out.
And that was down 5%. And then the one that really interested me was Intel. That was down 0.25%.
Right.
So when you've got a big up day of more than 1% in the market and you have a few of these supposedly interesting names down, that's something too.
Right. Everyone's talking about El Pollo Loco as the next Chipotle. And
El Pollo Loco in terms of their food. It's okay. It's not bad. But I find it hard to believe it needs, whatever, $100 billion market cap.
Well, what's Chipotle is only $600 a share or somewhere in that neighborhood these days. So where's El Pollo Loco? In the 30s?
35, I think, or 32 or something. They've got,
so they've got room to go. now please don't misunderstand that as me saying, hey, run out and buy El Pollo Loco.
It's 37. Yeah.
And it's moved substantially. It came out as an IPO around 18.
So it's up 100% in 2 weeks.
I would probably exercise caution.
A little bit of froth in the market there.
Yes. And that's been the whole IPO market for the last year.
And you know, the thing with the frothy IPO market is it's showing that the hot money, or the money that's really speculative and wants to move around and try and make high rates of return, the only place they're finding a good game in town is the IPO market. And the last time we had this type of indication was, I remember, back in 1999. I mean, all you had to do was get your hands on any IPO and you were going to double your money overnight.
Especially if it said .com.
Yeah. Well, everything said .com back then. It didn't matter what you had, it just ended off with .com.
Right.
You know, and that's sort of the case now where these IPOs, I mean, they're coming out there, and this isn't talking about El Pollo Loco per se, but a lot of them are coming out, they're losing money, they've never made money, they get listed, and the stock price doubles the next day.
Right.
Crazy.
And then on a long-term outlook, that doesn't usually play well, although there's a lot of these tech giants, the Facebooks, the Googles, that are paying huge, huge multiples for companies that aren't making money, which I don't even know how you calculate a positive multiple when you're looking at negative revenue.
Well, what happens then, just so our listeners understand, if you buy a company that has negative, so let's say Facebook goes out and spends $10 billion buying a company that has little revenues and losing money, what they have to do is when they acquire the company, and I used to do this for many years as a business valuation expert, is you have to basically split their balance sheet apart and allocate that $10 billion. And you start off with your most obvious allocations, which are your tangible assets. In other words, how many desks and chairs have we just bought? How much furniture have we bought? Because most of these are just internet companies. So all they have is computers and furniture.
Yeah, maybe they own a building.
I very much doubt it. So now you've allocated maybe $1 billion. And you got $9 billion more to go, and that whole lot has to go to intangible assets like goodwill and assembled workforce and things like that. And a big chunk of it will go to goodwill. And then later on, so you've paid this $10 billion, it's gone. And then later on you'll hear, oh well, Facebook is taking a $5 billion write down against goodwill, but it's a non-cash item. No, hold on a second. They paid that $10 billion, left the building a year or two ago. They obviously overpaid. And now they're taking a write-off, but then the analysts say, oh, it's a non-cash item, which it is today, but it just shows poor management.
Right, and almost accounting tricks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm good at accounting
tricks. Very good. So overall, our message is remaining constant. Exercise caution.
Right.
These markets, the volatility, we're going to get into more about the volatility and the different vehicles that are out there.
That's great. You got to listen to the next segment because we've got some doozies there.
Yeah, this is going to be fun today. Yeah. So stick around. If you do want to reach out to us as we're talking about things, if you have some investment that you're considering, feel free to reach out. That's why we're here. You can email both Steve and I. You can steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. We'll be right back.
Download your free KCBQ smartphone app. Search KCBQ. Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
And online at kcbq.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we kind of teased you a little bit there. But as the market has evolved here in the last, I would say, 10 years, the last 5 years specifically.
Into a casino.
The brokerage world has become more and more creative with investment vehicles. It used to be pretty straightforward. It was stocks, bonds, and not much more. The options market has been around for years and years, but as far as straightforward investments, it's pretty much been stocks and bonds and cash. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, when I say into a casino, I mean, it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it's not really, because ultimately, originally and for many years, the stock market functioned as the place where companies would go to raise capital. And now, as you say, particularly with the advent of computers and day trading and all the rest of it, there's been this huge expansion in terms of different products. And when you think about it, you know, they're trying to supposedly give people options and a suite of ideas that save you money. But essentially, people are buying these thinking they're getting one thing and they're getting something completely different in many cases.
Right. There's a lot of vehicles out there that are advertised as doing one specific thing.
Yeah.
And when you look at the reality of it, it doesn't function along those lines.
Well, not
whatsoever.
Only that, there's a bunch of stuff that's just being created in the hopes that if they make a weird and wonderful name up, people will just invest in it and they'll raise money. I mean, really the whole idea behind a lot of these things is, can we raise money?
Right.
Can we get people to buy our product? If so, money's going to come in, we make money.
Right.
And we really don't care what happens after that. You know, we're going to allocate it according to the plan or whatever it is, but, you know, that's really the goal behind it. And I'm not talking about necessarily financial planners really in this. I'm just talking about mutual funds and exchange-traded funds, or exchange-traded funds really in particular.
Well, and it goes even further, because there's a lot of these structured products that people talk about, or unit trusts.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of those that are very good, that function as advertised, but there's also a lot that don't, that are just the exact opposite, where they're positioned as some market neutral.
Well, I think originally when these ETF and mutual funds and unit trusts came out, the great idea was good. The actual theory behind it was good. Rather than have, let's say you're as an individual, you've got $10,000 to invest, you can't go and buy one stock of all S&P 500.
Right.
It's just a complete waste of your time. The costs of that are just off the chart. But people wanted to own the index because it made sense. If I want to buy an investment in the stock market, why not just buy the whole market?
Right.
So buy the S&P 500. Well, so then they created the ETF called the SPY, or the SPIDER. And so now, great, with one click of the mouse and for $8 and Schwab or whatever, you go and you buy the whole thing. And it does a pretty good job of tracking the market. So that's how it all started. And those things were plain vanilla. You knew what you were getting. You know what's in there. You know there's no cross-pollination. But as the industry saw people starting to buy them, well, what's the first thing you do? You're going to try and create new ones, right? And they become more and more wild as the years have gone by. And I think you've got a couple of
examples. Try to make them sound much more sexy than they really are, which is...
Well, sometimes they're trying so hard, they sound ridiculous. Give us one.
Oh, let's see.
Give us that one that we...
Which one? The volatility response shares. that one?
These guys, you know, in South Africa, there's the... emergency response, because the cops are so inundated that they can't even get to your house if you're being robbed. So they've got all these emergency response things.
Mm-hmm.
This name just reminds me of these Yahoos in their cars with guns.
Well, and this is virtually a new investment vehicle.
So let's read the name again.
It's just the S&P 500 Volatility Response Shares.
Okay, so anyone out there, please call in if you know what that means.
Phones are going to be ringing off.
But seriously, volatility response. So what they're saying is, when the market is really volatile, they're going to respond?
Right.
And I think that's what they do. When I read the thing, it said that if the market volatility picks up, they dump equities and they buy treasuries.
Correct.
And then when the market volatility subsides, then they buy equities and dump treasuries.
Correct.
Now, one thing, and we love talking about Warren Buffett, he loves volatility.
Yes.
For the simple reason that it gives him an opportunity to buy things on the cheap. Okay? These guys are doing the complete opposite.
Right.
When you have the opportunity to buy stuff on the cheap, they're selling them all.
Right.
To Warren, probably. And
I think he's doing okay based on his last quarter
record earnings.
I think it was $6.4 billion in profit.
So that's not quite that's $2 billion a month.
Yeah.
No, that's all right. I could live on that, you know.
You'd have to tone down your lifestyle a little bit, but you could do
exactly.
It.
So that strategy makes no sense to me.
Right, and there are a lot of these things.
Do you have another one?
Well, back in 2008, and maybe these came out prior to it, but the highly leveraged, 2x, 3x performance, where on the surface that looks like, well, gee, okay, the market's gone down. If I just buy this 3x
bear.
Bull.
Oh, bull. Oh, yeah,
then I'm going to make my money back in just no time.
Yep.
But the reality is, it doesn't work that way. It's not something you can invest in and just hold on to and expect that it's going to do anything close
and
to what the market does.
Exactly. You're exactly right, Dan, because I tried some of that stuff. And here's the problem with those funds is they've got massive slippage.
You want to define slippage?
Yeah, yes. Slippage is it's the cost of the trades, essentially. So obviously, the first thing you do when you buy a stock is you have to pay the broker there, or the $6, $8 or $10 or whatever it is, wherever you trade. But then outside of that, and I had a classic example of, talk about slippage. I do a lot of trading in the futures market, right? And what you can do, what I do a lot of times is I'll set a stop and I'll say, okay, I want to buy. It's a buy stop right at this price, okay? Or a sell stop. In this case, it was a sell stop because I was expecting soybeans to go lower. Well, the soybeans that opened so far below my stop that they didn't even fill me.
Never got triggered.
No, because it, was like, it just jumped right over me. So there's a great case of massive slippage. Mm-hmm. Where
and
you
and
had
that happens quite frequently with individual stocks.
Yeah, it happens. And it doesn't just happen in futures. Mm-hmm. I just gave that example because it happened 2 weeks ago. But what I'm trying to, that's another slippage item. You might have a purchase order to buy the stock at 10 and you get filled at, let's say, 10.05. Mm-hmm. There's 5 cents of slippage because it cost you 5 cents more than you were hoping for. You wanted 10, you got 10.05. And so now you've paid your $8. You've also paid another 5 cents. And when you try and get out, you've got the same thing on the other side. When there's a spread on the stock, which is the difference between what people are willing to buy and people are willing to sell at, and this happens more often than in the less liquid investments.
Right, the less heavily traded.
Yeah. I mean, I've often seen spreads of, you know, 5-10 cents in some of them.
And that's something, like on the ETFs,
yeah,
that's something to pay attention to, is how actively traded is the ETF you're interested in.
Yeah.
Because you could get an ETF with a great strategy that does very well, but it's very difficult to sell out of because...
Or get in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you end up paying more for it and getting less for it when you're selling just because it's thinly traded.
It's funny. It's like a house. Think of a house. You buy a house. Yeah, you bought it. I mean, I remember I was watching a show the other day on TV, and it's a fix-it-up show, right? So they go in and they redo your house and they fix it up, and then, you know, they sell it. And, well, they don't sell it. They fix it up. So this couple bought it for $40,000. They put $60,000 into it. So they're in it for $100,000, right? And then after they did all this cutesing up, they had it appraised. And the guy came out at $115,000. And he said, yeah, you see, you just made $15,000. Wrong. Because if you wanted to go list that property, number one, there's no guarantee you're going to get the appraised value.
Right.
Number two, you're probably going to have, I mean, in California, it's almost 10% in closing costs by the time you've paid the realtors and you've paid the you know, all of the points and all of that stuff. So take 10% off that 115. You've really only made 4, assuming you actually sell it at 115.
Right.
So, and then don't forget all of the expenses you've got while you're waiting to sell it, because you've got interest payments and all of that other stuff. So you're probably at break even at 115. And people don't get this. You know, and it's the same in stocks. This slippage is a big deal. And so back to our quote on the triple X numbers, where they're trying to go 3 times the market in either direction. Mm-hmm. So you have a 10% move up in the market, they're expecting to return you 30, you'll be lucky to get 20.
Right.
Because the slippage is so great, because they're so leveraged that things are starting to mature and they're having to constantly reinvest. And you can't time exactly when the index moves one way or the other. You're buying at a blended rate of return for the day.
Right.
And
these are so confusing. If you have ever considered, or if you have any of these, I hope you truly understand how they work. I've worked in this industry for a lot of years, and I did not understand them for the longest time when they first came out. It just looked too good to be true. So
I was very cautious
and started looking, and knew people that were investing in them, and they weren't getting anywhere near what was advertised.
That's the most frustrating thing in the world. Excuse me. Is you get the strategy right. You invest in supposedly the right vehicle,
right,
and your assumption is right, but the vehicle doesn't move and you don't get rewarded. I mean, we've talked about this in the VIX, which is a supposed risk return type thing. The VIX monitors the risk in the market. And so the theory is, when people are dumping stocks, the VIX goes up. And so if you're right, you should make a bucket of money by buying the VIX. Well, you can't really buy the VIX. You can only buy something that's sort of tangent to the VIX, which is the first problem. But I've done that a couple of times, got the market exactly right, and the VIX just didn't move, because the VIX is a future issue. They're trading the VIX that you can buy on the market. They're basing it on the futures. And so the VIX I had was tied to the October future. We were sitting in June, and so the market came up, but the October one didn't move because it had already decided that
there's still so much time between when it matures and
so I got it right but lost.
Yes.
I really dislike that.
And that is very challenging. We talk about it all the time. It's great to be right, but if you're right at the wrong time, you don't benefit from that. And that's why it's impossible to try to time the market and outguess which direction it's going, and why the importance of having a plan in place to just capitalize on the downtimes, minimize what's going on the good times so that you're not spending too much for different investments, and just moving forward as much as possible.
But when you get it right, it's fantastic.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. And you can do that as part of a plan.
People can't. Exactly. Thanks for bringing that up, because I think you do need to incorporate that type of, there needs to be some ability for this thing to move. We don't want to lock it down completely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless you're worth $20 million, then
Then you're just, your investment outlook should be very different than someone who's only got $1,000.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I would think.
Yeah. Hopefully. Well, when we come back, we will continue talking about some of these unique and interesting investment vehicles, and also discuss a little bit about what's going on globally and how that could impact your portfolios. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170, Intelligent Talk Radio.
Intelligent Talk, 1170, KCBQ.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is, you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Keep up with KCBQ hosts and current events. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Look for the icons online at kcbq.com.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
Today we're talking about, I wouldn't say we're making fun of, but it usually is pretty easy as you read some of the names of the unique and interesting investment vehicles that get created in times of good and bad.
I think we are sort of making fun. We're trying to make fun.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we're trying to alert you to the fact that if it sounds completely ridiculous, you shouldn't be investing in that.
There's a good chance it is. Like that previous one, the volatility response shares.
I know, come on.
Volatility has been in the news like crazy this entire year. And so you can bet that's the entire reason someone sat here and said, ooh, everyone's worried. Everyone's talking about volatility. If we can just come up with a product that says volatility
in the name.
then people are going to want to invest in this. And another one, and this is called the all cap insider sentiment shares. I'll just let Steve laugh at this one for a little bit. And
okay, wait. The part that just makes me laugh about that is, okay, if you're trading insider information, firstly, you can't, right?
So, well, unless you're a senator or a congressman, then it's okay.
So this means set by the Congress. Congress or a senator have made this on up?
Maybe it's just a index that tracks what the senators and congressmen are doing.
Well, no. I think when I read up about it a little bit, it said that they're tracking what the insiders are doing. In other words, when an insider or a person that's like the CEO or an insider of the business, once you own more than 5% of the shares of the company or you're part of management, you're considered an insider. So those people have to report when they buy or sell stocks. So that's the first place they're getting their insider information.
Well, and the one flaw in that right away is that information doesn't get released until the end of the quarter.
Yeah, because they only have certain windows to sell.
Right. So if they did it the first day of the first month of the quarter.
Yeah, it's 3 months old.
That data is 3 months old before it gets released, before they can respond, which.
Yeah. Okay, so there's the first problem. The next problem is the rest of the list of insiders include the stock analysts.
Top management, directors, large institutional holders. And Wall Street research analysts follow the company.
I've been a research analyst. Yeah. You don't have access to anything. And if you do, you better stop publishing that thing. Otherwise, you'll join Madoff and Razzmatazz or whatever his name was.
Martha Stewart.
Yeah, well, she was in for a little bit. But
a short time.
Yeah, I think there's still debate about whether she was wronged or not, but I don't know. I'm not even going to comment on that.
She was just an example, I think.
Yeah, but so that I mean, give me a break. That's such a bunch of nonsense. Anyway, that was worth a laugh.
Yes, it definitely was. I was at a big conference just a couple years ago. And I think everyone around town probably saw it. It had a lot of large, illustrious people, Colin Powell, Lou Holtz, and numerous others, and it was Get Motivated. And I went just figuring if I could just get one tidbit of information from any of these great, powerful people, it would be worth my time. And as they were leading into one of the breaks, they had an investment product that was a computer-generated program, some type of software, that would track the institutional action and activity in stocks. And it would tell you a signal of when to buy, when to sell, based on what these large institutions
green buy,
were
red
doing.
Sell.
Correct.
Yeah.
And with that, I mean, that the theory makes a lot of sense, but how accurate is this based on just what we've already talked about? How quickly is that information getting dispersed, how readily available.
But it's funny because there's so many people buying these things.
Oh, it was as soon as the lights started coming on, all the aisles were just packed with everybody in the arena were running down to pay their $50 or $100 it was for this system. And that gave me enlightenment as to how they got everyone there because the cost of admission was 99 cents, I think.
Mm.
And I wondered how could they afford to have all these high-powered speakers there?
You know, people want to make this whole investing and finance thing easy. Mm-hmm. They want it to be packaged in a little box so I can just drop my pennies in each month and it'll take care of itself. And Wall Street is trying to accommodate by selling these weird and wonderful products. The problem is that it's not working. That all that's happening is Wall Street is making more and more money and the people that are dropping their pennies in the box, it's a box that has a hole in the bottom that just flows out the other side and it's going to the wrong place. It's not getting you to where you need to be. You need to, that's why we're here. You need to understand more about what's going on. If someone wants to sell you a trading product for $50 a month, so it's, you know, buy on green, sell on red, and I've seen tons of those. Why are they doing that? Why aren't they just making the $20 billion a year themselves?
Right. And we've talked about that before. These people, the way they're making money is by selling their system, not by executing their system.
It's like you go to Schwab or TD Ameritrade or any of these companies and you buy that stock. Right. They charge you $8. Do they care whether that stock goes up or down?
Not at all.
They and then when you sell, do they care whether you've made money or not? No.
Nope.
They just want the $8 each time.
Right.
They don't care. Their research isn't helpful. Their research is put out there just to try and get you to buy or sell more stocks.
Right.
Yeah.
In most cases, it's buy, buy, buy. It's always a good time to buy when you're getting any type of research from any investment management company.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of reasons for that. And some of the reasons are there's relationships with the company that they're putting these signals out.
Right.
So if they're getting a banking relationship, in other words, let's say Goldman Sachs, and you're putting out, you've got, let's say, Bank of America, and Bank of America sends you all of their business, and you're making billions of dollars a year on that banking relationship, you don't want your analyst to go put a sell signal on their stock, even though it might be a sell.
Right.
Because then they might get annoyed with you and take away the banking relationship.
Right.
And you want to talk about, I mean, you're getting me all wired up here.
You want to, I knew I could get you here.
You want to talk about a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable how they get away with this. And the way they get away with it is because they have this Chinese wall. And in case people don't know what a Chinese wall is, all that means is that one crowd has to sit in a different office from the other crowd. It's not an actual wall, or it's not a no-talk zone. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's all under the same big umbrella.
I'll stop now. But one thing that I do want to mention is, you know, if you're sitting out there and you've got a portfolio and you're confused, and you just don't know where to go, or you want to have someone do an analysis of it for you, Dan and I have sort of sat down, and obviously we're here to help, and we've had a few people, you know, come forward. And so what we thought we'd do is maybe as a special, what are we doing today, Jim?
Do we want to do a complete financial plan for someone?
Yeah. I mean, if we can do that.
Yeah.
They're normally like $2,500, but right. we'll what are we going to do? One or... Or are we going to give away?
We'll start with one.
Okay.
Should we do it via a raffle or first caller? What do we want to do?
The person with the least complicated one. No. No jokes aside. No, I would just say, you know, yeah.
Let's say whoever contacts us today, we will throw the names in a basket and draw one lucky listener out, and we will give away a free...
What we can do, we'll do the drawing next week. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. We'll do it live in studio next week.
Yep.
And announce it, so you're going to have to listen next week if you put your name in the hat this
week. That's right. Yeah, but that's, I think, you know, at least that'll help one person.
Yes.
You know? Because it's really getting volatile out there. We haven't really spoken at all about the macroeconomic environment much today.
Right.
But... I mean, just on the TV, we're dropping some more bombs in Iraq. I'm not sure why, but maybe someone who's more intelligent with those things than me knows. But I, you know, it's not our country, and it's, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, I think with these types of volatile situations going on out there, it's critical time for you to pull together your portfolio, to have a look at it, and then to have an expert review it, and maybe help you tailor something that you can work with.
Right.
To
build
get
something
you
that's specific for you, for your goals, what you're trying to accomplish,
right.
That has nothing to do with your neighbors, what's on TV, the barber down the street that always gives you stock advice. You don't, that has nothing to do with any of those outside influences.
And that's to be honest, one of the to me, if I were you, a listener, the big appeals is even if you've got a financial planner, just bring what you've got to us. We're not trying to get your business.
Right.
We're just giving you the opportunity of a free third-party review.
Correct.
And wow, you can get take, better than
you,
that.
You can take that back to your broker, your financial planner, your advisor, whoever you want.
Yeah.
And sit down and say, hey, I would like to do this, or can we do this, or does this make sense?
Yeah.
It's entirely up to you.
Yeah.
One other thing that I wanted to touch on, we should probably give the best way to contact us.
Might be able to get all.
you can call 858-764, is it 7250?
Yes.
And once again, that's 858-764-7250, or you can email either of us, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. And again, we will gather up all the names, throw them in a hat next week. Maybe we'll have Todd come in studio and he'll pull the name out of the hat for us. And we'll announce live on air who is the lucky winner. And then we'll contact you and begin the process to create your own specific, customized, comprehensive financial plan. And it's free.
Amazing.
So it literally is a $2,500 value. And depending on your situation, it could be a much higher than that value. So you are listening to the Portfolio Doctors. When we get back, we're going to get to one listener's question that we've received over the last week or so. So you're listening to the Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170, Intelligent Talk Radio.
1170, KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need LeadCommerce. LeadCommerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. LeadCommerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of LeadCommerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And today we've kind of gone across the board here talking about the market and the interesting volatility that's been going on the last couple of weeks. And a lot of the interesting broker-dealer-driven, unique, and sexy investment products that are being created pretty much every day. It seems like every day there's a new one that pops out, whether it's an ETF or a structured product or some type of unit investment trust or even in the annuity world.
Well, I was going to say, it's not just limited to the stock market. The insurance industry's diving right in, both feet forward.
We'll save that for another show. That could be all next week.
Okay.
Because that in itself would be for sure a whole show. One of the big problems that I have and have noticed this from the beginning of my career, these companies are very, very good at looking at what has gone on in the past and then creating a strategy that would have done well in the past. We touched on this a little bit last week. The problem with that is you can only make the best decision with the information you have at that time, because I've seen so many of these new strategies that you look at and go, wow, look, this would have done really well in 08 and 2000, 2001, 2002. You'd be in great shape if you'd have done this. But the problem is, it's always easy to make the right decision when you know what happened.
Well, it's called backtesting.
Correct.
So that's what people do all the time. They come up with an idea or a trading idea or an investment philosophy, and then they go back in time and see how it would have done.
Right, and they keep changing it until they find a strategy
that works.
That worked consistently.
Well, that's data mining now.
Yeah, but it's a combo of the two to come up with these strategies. And the reality is they don't tend to do very well going forward because it's a different situation. Yes, the market tends to go up over time, but as each situation arises, that vehicle that they created for the past doesn't work going forward or doesn't work nearly as well as advertised.
Correct. And one of the other reasons it doesn't is, and if any listeners out there listening, you should have the answer to this. It's slippage.
Slippage.
Because when you go back and you back test something, you don't know for sure you're going to get filled at those prices.
Right.
You don't know for sure what the cost of it's going to be. So you gain, and you can't calculate. You can put something, some arbitrary value in there, but you don't really know. I mean, particularly in that volatility one, you're selling in a volatile market. Normally it's a volatile market, means it's creaming downwards.
Right.
And now you're selling into a market that's already going down, so you're just driving everything lower.
And the more that gets sold, the faster it accelerates.
Yeah, so, and you're piling it into treasuries, which are earning zero.
Right.
And then you're going to sit there and wait for all of the volatility to die down. Then you're going to buy in. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, not going to work. It's like there's a guy once who told me he had this great strategy. And you know what? The amazing thing was someone seeded him with $250,000. And his trading theory was, he'd buy a stock, when it went up 12 cents, he would sell. And when it dropped 8 cents, he would sell. Okay. So if he bought it at $10 and it went to $9.92, he would automatically sell out of the position.
Okay.
And when it went from $10 and hit to $10.12, he'd sell, right?
Okay. So buy. No, sell.
Sell.
Because
he'd buy it at 10.
Got
it. So he's either selling at a loss or selling at a profit. And his theory was, well, because all I need to do now is get 50 cents. 50% of the time I need to be right. And because I'm up 12 and only down 8, net the two out, I'm going to make 4 cents. It's, foolproof. This is the most ridiculous strategy I ever heard. Anyway, someone gave him $250,000 and it took him 3 months to lose the whole thing.
Well,
because
he lasted that long.
Yeah, he hadn't factored in the $8 or the $10 cost it was to trade the stocks.
Yeah, anyway. There's a lot of companies that will give you free trades for a month, so maybe that could work for a month, but the reality is you have to be right at least 50% of the time.
Yeah.
And that it's not that easy.
No.
If it was, there'd be plenty of people doing that every day.
Right.
Well, getting back to, we had a listener's question, which is on a lot of people's minds right now, and this may be a challenging one to answer a little bit. We definitely need to know more detailed information about the person to be able to give a specific answer. But the question was posed to us, where can I find yield?
Right. That's on everyone's mind right now because the 10-year note, for example, is at 2.41%.
Right.
So you end up buying into a 10 out for 10 years, you get 2.41. Admittedly, that's pretty bulletproof and rock solid, and you.
Yeah, that is backed by the U.S. government. So as long as you're comfortable, the government's going to continue paying their bills. You don't have any risk, and it's widely considered the safest investment in the world, isn't
it? Yeah, and you can go to a bank and you put it in a CD, and you can get about 2% in a 5-year lockup. So you're locked up for 5 years, earning 2%. Imagine that. You get $10,000. You put it in there. You earn $200 a year.
Wow.
Wow. So, I mean, because of these types of things, people are desperately looking around to try and find yield. So what have you come up with?
And that, this kind of leads to another investment strategy. People are coming up with this high income shares and high yield this and high yield that. And we've seen just in the last week or two, the high yield market has really taken a beating.
Whew, yeah, it's down like 6 or 7%.
Because people have been putting money into these things because they're the only investment that yields anything, and they're great while they pay, but these types of vehicles can stop paying.
Well, that's the problem with high yield. Yeah, high risk, high return.
Right.
So you're getting, in good times, you normally get 10, 12% out of those things, but they had driven the price up so high, the yield on those was down to 4 or 5.
Right.
So that was just a train smash waiting to happen.
Which you have to really look and say, gee, is all the risk I'm taking that this money could just evaporate tomorrow worth the extra whopping 2% I'm making over the 10-year treasury?
Right.
And in most situations, I would have to say that that's a no. That's a right. pretty straightforward, simple answer that 2% is not worth the additional risk.
I mean, other places I've found yield that's more liquid than a five-year note. If you have to sell it, you probably can. But I mean, is properties, there are certain investment properties out there, but not in San Diego. I mean, if right. it's in San Diego, it's just not yielding anything because you have to put too much down. But if right. you move out of the state, you can get to places like Florida and Vegas and Ohio and places like this where you can buy a house for $40,000 or $50,000.
Right.
And the next thing, those things can yield you easily 8, 10, 12%.
And that's basing it on someone renting the property that
correct.
You own.
Yeah, now you're not going to get a lot of property appreciation in those states. But you do have at least a 10 or 12% yield on your money, and you've got the safety of it being in real estate.
Right.
But then you've got the risk.
Where there's
of,
a real tangible asset
yeah.
that you own. It's not like a stock that, sure, that looks tangible right until you happen to invest in Enron and that company
yeah.
disappeared. Then now you own nothing.
Exactly. So, I mean, but the issue is then you're sitting in San Diego and you've got some property in Omaha, right. Nebraska. I mean, you know, it's hard to manage.
Challenge to manage. So hopefully you can line yourself up with a good high quality
yeah,
property
but,
manager.
I mean, so there are things out there, but they just, the problem is with this low interest rate environment, it's just so hard to find anything of quality mm-hmm. and that gives you the safety and the security you need with a return. And that's the problem. That's the tax that the Federal Reserve has given us all.
Right. And you need to understand that this is a low interest rate environment. So if you're hearing anything that is paying more than
more than six, yeah.
you should be very cautious. And if you do know or have seen something like that and you're not sure about it, we'll gladly look at that and give you a totally unbiased opinion of yes, this makes sense or no, it doesn't, and the reasons behind it.
Mm.
But
yeah, just be careful. In this world of low interest rate environments, you have to be very, very careful. Everyone's looking for yield. There's a lot of scams and things going on out there. It's scary.
Correct. And I think that pretty much does it for us today. Again, if you want your name thrown in the hat for a free comprehensive financial plan that is specific to you and tailored to your needs and goals, give us a call, 858-764-7250, or email either Steve or myself, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.